Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
It's easy to sit there and say, oh, you know, Flip ran through all the plays, the entire sheet. They did one play after another with all the backups. That's not preparing a guy for NFL game. I mean, this will be a different story. This will be going through and discovering what play he feels most comfortable with. You know, it's very important to be able to communicate with him and make sure that there will be plays that he doesn't like. There will be plays that he doesn't run especially well. There will be plays where you're asking him to maybe do too much. So I think that the key for Matt Nagy, and you're right, it's on him, not on Justin Fields, is to simplify, to make things easier on his quarterback, and to make sure that he deploys him in a fashion where he can be at his best. And they did not do that when he came into the game.
I agree with that, totally. You got to pare things down. That's why I'm going to continue to harp on this. This week, Matt Nagy has more to prove than Justin Fields, because there's so much skepticism built around the idea that he is so rigidly and devoted to his scheme. And you have a rookie quarterback that isn't a master of that scheme, but he is a special player with unique talents. So now you, as the head coach, have to show that you are flexible enough to grasp the obvious. And the obvious being, you need to put Justin Fields in positions to succeed more than you did in his second half against the Bengals, when he had 13 passes and all of them were from the pocket. Mully, that can't happen again. You can't call a game like that. Also, the solution isn't tricking things up and making things more fancy. It's time to shut the gimmick factory.
That's exactly right.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Oh, there's so much wonderful news in the fine city of Chicago. We got the Bears getting back to work. They'll start their serious preparation today for the Cleveland Browns. We got the White Sox. Can't seem to win. Can't seem to play. Falling apart in front of our eyes. We got the Cubs. It never ends, David.
Morning, Mully. Happy Wednesday. First day of fall.
Yeah.
The new season has begun.
Yeah, that is my season.
It is your season. Fall. I like fall.
There's no spring.
Not as a verb. No. Let's use it as a noun. It's fall, autumn, if you will. It is definitely going to be a special autumn here in Chicago, right? That's the way we have to think about it. Yeah, I'm trying to cheer you up. I know what direction you're headed.
Am I?
Yeah,
because you saw some of the questions I wanted to ask.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I got to try to retrieve you from that place you're dipping into. Yeah. As a Sox fan, I get it. Tough week. 5 out of 7 losses. Tough week. You hope that it's preceding a special month. You hope that the first day of fall is the beginning of a season, the postseason,
yeah,
that will be different than the last week has been. Because, and let's face it, maybe since the All-Star break, this is a 500 team. They lost again yesterday.
Aren't they even that? I mean, they feel like they're a below
500. It does feel like they're below 500.
It just feels like they're...
The conversation surrounding a first-place team with this comfortable of a lead has not been what you would expect it to be, but it's because they have been mediocre since midseason.
If Tony La Russa, Ricky Renteria is up the Houston series, presumably Houston, does he get the Renteria treatment?
I was trying to avoid you from going in that direction.
That's like the thing that's on my mind most of all.
I know.
And it really, it's not Tony's fault, but I think he's a convenient scapegoat. I don't know who else to blame.
Well, you know, I think.
Well, I know, but you're not getting rid of the players, Dustin.
No.
This is not the Cubs.
I think that if the White Sox, depending on how it goes in the postseason, but it's a fair question only because of the way this season was built up. World Series or bust. Tony La Russa is here for the short term, the interim, to win now. Now as in this season.
But he's on a 3-year deal.
But that's paper. I mean, that is only...
I agree.
That is only a legal agreement because...
I'm saying, are we on to the next, though? If this fails, and it does not look like it's going to succeed.
Context. Can't have the conversation today. But I do think it's interesting because of what it suggests, and also because of what it brings to mind in my head, at least. I don't know if the Sox flame out, and if they go out, you know, in the first round, as many people are suggesting after seeing this past week, if Tony La Russa would have the appetite to return. Do you think that? Because,
you know,
let's face it, I mean, what this team needs right now
is
for Tony La Russa to be Tony La Russa, the guy that we know is the edgiest manager in town, and to be that guy that is getting in somebody's face, being stern and rigid and demanding, and changing the fortunes and direction of this team. You need him to be Tony La Russa.
I don't know what he's been, and I don't know what this team is. Here's what I see, okay? I see, and again, when a team doesn't hit, it looks like they have no energy. But I see a broken offense, and more than that, I see a stumbling, exhausted, shattered to the finish line pitching staff. I'm talking pitching staff. I mean, the starters look tired. The bullpen looks absolutely lost. Absolutely
inconsistent.
Lost.
Just yeah.
Bad. It's just like,
okay,
who's going to blow the game today?
Bummer, Kimbrel, guys that you were supposed to be able to count on that were going to be trending in the right direction are guys that you can't.
Chase Fry got through an inning. What's he doing coming out for another inning? Why?
Fair questions. Look, starts with the manager, though. It starts with the manager.
What I just
brought
up, sadly.
I mean, you started there. You started there because I think
I'm befuddled. It's infuriating to sit down and watch that team. You know, you get home from work, you got stuff to do, you're trying to get through. Oh, we got the Sox, let's get all this done. And your day's ruined. You feel like you just ruined. Wow, I just wasted my life. That's what it feels like watching the White Sox right now.
The magic number is 4, and when they score 4 runs, they are a team that is very good. And you have to wonder if all of what you said being valid and true and understandable, that once they get into the playoffs, you wonder if healthy and whole, if this lineup can produce 4 runs a game or 4 runs in enough games to win a series, to beat the Astros, then move on. Because when you get 4 runs, you got to think that you're going to be able to protect that lead, because this season they have done that. But it's too inconsistent for anyone's taste right now. I agree with that.
A friend of mine texted me and said, God, I wish that Aloy was still hurt, because there would still be the possibility that he was going to come back and be good. And I'm like, wow, that's dark.
That's dark.
That's just dark.
They're 71-16 when they score 4 or more runs.
Okay.
All right. So, I mean, I'm trying to be the balance here. I understand where you're going, but I don't think that it has to be all that bleak necessarily yet. I don't think so. I'm not ready to go there yet. I still think there's hope.
I'm being called Chicken Little. And you know, this
Who's called you Chicken Little?
Some texter.
Oh,
this
I'm sorry. I didn't see the
this guy, sir.
I didn't call you Chicken Little.
The sky is falling. I just want to clarify that. fall is here, and the sky is falling for the Chicago White Sox.
Well,
they're awful. They're awful. They're not worth your effort to watch. It's clearly, you know, they should have had this thing wrapped up about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. What the heck is this? Just get it over with. As I said, I don't want it on the field. I want it on an airplane. I want them to find out when they land. Oh, yeah, you made the play. I don't want to.
Why?
Because I don't think they deserve the big celebration.
Yes, they do. They deserve the celebration.
Not the way they're playing.
Baseball is a hard game, a long slog of a season, 162 games, 6 months, whatever, however long it takes. And you know what? When they win, and when they do something for the first time ever, making the playoffs in back-to-back seasons, it is worthy of a celebration on the field, in the clubhouse. Let the corks pop. Pour the champagne over Tony's head. Whatever. Just make sure.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, celebrate. Celebrate responsibly. And I think that's what you want to do if they are able to pull this off. And they're going to be able to pull this off. And then you're going to reset. You're going to take a deep breath. And you're going to be positive going into the playoffs. You're shaking your head. I'm trying.
I'm just saying. We could use the Sox to give us a little lift, not whatever this is. And it's really hard to watch. That's all I'm saying. It's frankly, the problem is that they've gone from being mediocre to below that, okay? They're just below that standard. They're losing series all over the place. Great. They came back and won the last game against Texas, but just look at what they're doing. And it's hard to get all worked up and all excited about the playoffs when increasingly you feel like you got the sword of Damocles hanging over your head.
Well, I think it's a shame because I think that there is the other side of it where
it is a shame.
You look at the possibility if Lance Lynn, you know, what all the things you said being valid, Lance Lynn could go out in game one against the Astros and shut them down.
Sure.
Shut them down.
And then
and there's a
Kimbrel
randomness to baseball.
In the eighth inning and give it back up.
No.
David, they get to the seventh inning every bloody game and they give it up.
It doesn't have to be that way. On any given day, you have to. I know the trends are going in that direction. Kimbrel has been really bad and disappointing. Bummer has been inconsistent. There, you could go person by person. And at the same time, you can find examples where those guys have also done their jobs well. I'm going to go with that right now.
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to go with that.
I think someone ought to. We need some balance. I'm going
to
go with what I've been looking at. And frankly, that's not good enough to win in the playoffs. And you look at a team like Toronto, and you look at teams that are now winning.
They're hot.
They're in contention. They're playing for something. Maybe this whole thing with the White Sox, it's just caught up to them. You know, maybe it's been too easy. They haven't been challenged, and they, you know, but they're going through the motion. They remind me of some of these Cubs teams where the offense wasn't good enough, and you knew, you know, when the Cubs came up, when they started going, when they were the young guys and they started making their move, you knew it was coming, and bam, there it came. And then I don't know what happened.
Well,
but we are in somehow the post World Series fall. And it makes no sense to me.
You're having the hangover before the celebration.
Doesn't it look like that?
I think at times that's true. But I also because I think it's almost like did the White Sox were they too good because they got too comfortable because they got out in too big of a lead because they won the division too early. All those things you wonder, but I think that's what Tony La Russa was hired to do.
Was
to sharpen the edge. Look, we spent a lot of time in this town challenging coaches like Matt Nagy to, you know, this is the biggest week for him. It's bigger than Justin Fields. You know, all sorts of examples.
Yes.
This is Tony La Russa's moment. This is why he's here. This is why Ricky Renteria was fired. You need to go into the postseason and be a team that has that intensity that you have not seen consistently enough this month. They're a bad team in September.
They've been terrible.
You can't get past that.
Do you believe you can just hit a button and it's like Tony time and they're going to win? Because if that's the case, then I apologize in advance.
You don't need to apologize for having you're being honest about the way you're feeling about this. I do think there in baseball, there seems to be a switch that you can flip at times. Mm-hmm. And I can reference the most recent example. Everybody looks at 2005. It was a tough month. I know they got hot late in September, but the White Sox had a difficult time in that month of September, and they won the World Series.
We've got a big show planned. We are going to be talking to Ozzie Guillen at 8 o'clock. We'll get Ozzie's take on this. We're going to talk to Michael Lombardi at 7:22. It will be so much fun to get Michael's take on what he has seen from the Bears. Because, you know, he's the guy that told us they were the most overrated defense in the NFL. They seem to hear that. I don't know that they heard Michael or that interview, but they understood when they got into that game against the Bengals that they had let people down. They had let themselves down. They had not played up to the caliber expected. And they got better in that game. They better have another level going into Cleveland.
Totally agree.
That's a good offensive line. It's going to be a more difficult task.
I agree with that. Michael Lombardi saying that last Wednesday morning, it echoed. It had an echo, and it resonated with the Bears, however much that contributed to what happened on Sunday against the Bengals. But the Browns is a step up in class because of the way they run the football.
But the way the Bears played against the Bengals, had that game had another 10 minutes to it, I don't know what the outcome would have been. It seemed like they were heading in the wrong direction.
As we said to Dave Wanstead yesterday, if that game goes into overtime, I'm not sure the Bears win it.
Yeah.
Because it was falling.
No, it was
falling, it was getting away from them, slipping through their fingers.
And they weren't doing anything on offense. And obviously the defense with the turnovers and the touchdown from Roquan, his first career touchdown, good to see. First interception for Jalen Johnson. He's getting all sorts of accolades and bouquets thrown his way.
That's going to be interesting to see how he handles
that's
it.
What I was go- that's
because
where I was going.
You know, confidence is a great thing to have if you're a cornerback. Too much confidence, not good for any athlete.
Yeah, no question. And so we'll be following that. We heard Jason Peters talk yesterday. Interesting stuff that he had to say, and he's making a new comparison for Justin Fields. We'll get into that with you. You know, the Sox thing, and we have a texter telling you to explain to me that the Sox are just using too many Sunday lineups. I get it. I see what's happening. But you know what else I see? They don't have a DH. They don't have a right fielder. They haven't all year. The left fielder / DH is in a slump.
I'm not going to tell you.
There's a lot of problems.
I'm not going to tell you that they're using too many Sunday lineups necessarily, but the only thing that I would say, maybe put a different way, is, and it sounds like a little bit of an excuse, but this team has not had the health to put its ideal lineup on the field for more than three games this year.
Right.
And when it does, if it can, in the playoffs, I do think that will make a difference and have a different kind of impact, hit us a different way, because, as we said yesterday, it has been, what, three times all season long where they've had everybody in the lineup where they wanted in their – pretty good in those three games. Very, very small sample size.
Very small sample size. Very worried about the bullpen. Supposed to have the best bullpen in baseball. Where's that? I think there's a lot to get into, and we've got the people to do it with today. It should be a ton of fun. A lot planned for you, and we're going to start with the 5 at 5 next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
Is the question whether Justin Fields is ready for his first NFL start on Sunday in Cleveland, or if play caller Matt Nagy is ready for Fields? Is Nagy's reputation on the line if he can't get Fields in a position to succeed?
Well, no question about that, but it's not on the line this week. Let's clarify that. I don't know if that's an implication within the question, but I do think that Nagy's supposed to be a quarterback whisperer, and we're supposed to see him develop Justin Fields. And maybe the idea was that Andy Dalton was winning games and Justin Fields was over on the practice field developing, but that scuttled that plan. So now you got to run a game plan that is designed to bring out the best in the quarterback. And it really isn't about whether the quarterback can play. It's about whether Matt Nagy can get the best out of the player. So call the game that way. Do what you can to help him. Tap into whatever resources you have around there. They got a lot of guys in that quarterback room, and find someone that has a good idea of how to help this quarterback succeed. That is really, you know, I agree with what you said to begin the week, David, that the pressure really more on Matt Nagy than Justin Fields. The question will be, what can Matt Nagy do to help this player, not whether the guy can play or not.
Yeah, because the reputation of Matt Nagy has been shaped and formed by his inability to adjust to Mitch Trubisky. That's why Mitch Trubisky struggled, and a lot of people are now looking in retrospect and wondering, well, were they unfair to Mitch? Was it Mitch? Was it Nagy? Was it a combination of both? But now that we have a new quarterback for him to shape and to adjust, he's got to be less aggressive, maybe, and more adaptable. That's what you want to define Matt Nagy, not this aggressiveness that he refers to every time he's challenged with the question. It's that you want him to be able to adapt. And the scheme is not the biggest thing about the offense. The skills of Justin Fields are. And we need to see that as soon as Sunday. As soon as Sunday, if Justin Fields is making his first NFL start, the pressure shifts to Matt Nagy to get the most out of this young quarterback, to put him in positions to succeed. So I do think that that's the bigger question, and I think that's the bigger challenge, because I have more confidence in Justin Fields' ability to adapt to the speed of the NFL game and to use his athleticism to succeed than I do in Matt Nagy to adapt and adjust to calling a game that takes advantage of his quarterback's talents, only because we really haven't seen I think we've seen Matt Nagy struggle with that in that regard. So definitely think that his reputation is not on the line this Sunday, as you point out, but this season, if Justin Fields is going to be the primary quarterback.
Yeah, I think this is more about Nagy than about Justin Fields. He did fail Mitch. I don't know that Mitch is all that great. He definitely wasn't worth trading up for and all of that. They missed out on a couple of guys that presumably could have been better. But I think the key word is presumably. How do we know that Matt Nagy and the Bears wouldn't have screwed up Patrick Mahomes? We don't know that Patrick Mahomes would have done Patrick Mahomes things here in Chicago. I mean, he has weapons. There are, you know, across the board, the weapons in Kansas City are better than the weapons in Chicago. Each offensive piece is better in Kansas City than it is in Chicago. And I think that does lead to some of what makes Mahomes so special. But that's not the question right now. Fields is ready to start. I have confidence that Fields is ready to start. I'm interested to see if he's given the full week of first-team reps, how that's going to look. And I'm also willing to give Nagy this opportunity. But I do believe that his reputation is on the line if he can't get Fields in a position to succeed. Of course, it's going to take more than one Sunday in September. But if it's the fifth Sunday and we're through October, I think his reputation could be damaged. And that might have been why he wanted him on the bench all of this season. Because if everything doesn't go exactly perfect, and I think Dan pointed this out during transition yesterday, everything has to be exactly right for the Bears in order to succeed. They scored one offensive touchdown. That was why last Friday my prediction was 5 Carlos Santos field goals. And I'll tell you what, if Roquan Smith would have been tackled, okay, if he wouldn't have run through the Bengals secondary, we would have had another Carlos Santos field goal, right? So they were on their way to that more than they were on scoring touchdowns, because everything has to be perfect. And the only time they were able to have everything perfect was getting the ball first, no pre-snap penalties, and they went down the field and scored because they had scripted it out. So we will see.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here is what's happening. The White Sox magic number is now 2 because the White Sox lost yesterday out in Detroit to the Tigers 5-2. They were 2-for-10 with runners in scoring position and left a total of 13 guys on. They hope to change that this afternoon. Again, is a 12-10 first pitch. Ronaldo Lopez will be throwing. Cubs hosted the Twins last night. Alec Mills started. Cubs got up 3-2 on a Contreras home run. After that, it was all Twins. They won that game 9-3. Kyle Hendricks goes tonight. Saturday at Soldier Field, we've got Wisconsin, a 6-point favorite against Notre Dame. And the Bears will get that game plan to work. And the biggest news will be the injury report coming out later. And where is Andy Dalton? Right now, the Browns are favored by 7 points, according to Bet Rivers. The Wildcats, they host Rutgers, Iowa, Purdue, and more this fall. Buy the tickets. NUSports.com.
Well, that's a good question.
What are you most curious about when the injury report comes out today? The status of Andy Dalton or Eddie Goldman? Who do the Bears need more Sunday to win? Do you think the Bears will remain coy about Dalton's status to make sure the Browns prepare for both quarterbacks?
I think curiosity has me more. I think it's going to be interesting to see what they say about Dalton, how they couch this entire thing, only because of the awkwardness they created and having the PR go back down to the media room and try to clarify something, and all they did was muddy it up a little bit more. So curiosity about the quarterback. But separately, the other part of the question is, Eddie Goldman means more to the game plan and I think to the game's outcome on Sunday, because of what Justin Fields is capable of for the reasons we just stated. I think Eddie Goldman, because this Cleveland Browns team is such a good running team, and because they have two running backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who can control this game better than, I think, any other aspect of this game for the Browns. Baker Mayfield, due respect, the receivers are dangerous if healthy, but they're not healthy. You know, we don't know about Beckham yet. So I think that a passing game that's predicated, uses their tight ends a lot, is going to lean even more so on the run. And their offensive line, who coached by your guy Bill Callahan, pride of the South Side.
That's right.
And so this is a challenge, I think, that if the Bears are going to need a committee, it's going to take a village to stop the running game. And so I think that Eddie Goldman's status in this case may mean more than Andy Dalton's, because I think he's probably closer to playing as well. I think that's maybe the hope. So I'm curious about how they're going to explain Dalton and maybe be coy and think that the Browns have to prepare for two quarterbacks. But I think that ultimately Goldman's status is going to factor in more into this game.
I think you're touching upon something here that is that is really interesting, which is the responsibility of the team to tell you who's available and who isn't available. And one of the reasons you do that is to prevent any kind of secret information leaking out to gamblers. There's a lot of gambling going on in the world. This is one of the reasons that you established an injury report and you try to be clear about it. And if a guy is not on it, and that will really raise a red flag. And I think what you're driving at here is that you don't trust the information they're going to give you.
No.
I don't trust the information
right.
they're going to give
yeah.
us. I mean, the arrow may be up for Eddie Goldman, but we haven't seen him since 2019. So it's good that the arrow's up, but that is about as hollow a thing as I've ever heard. I'm not going to believe that Eddie Goldman even exists until I see him on the field. And I have seen him on the field in the preseason, but not enough. I hope to God Eddie Goldman's ready to go, because I think that's one that kind of bothers me. I wonder, personally, if Andy Dalton's going to try to go. Because, I mean, is he going to try to play injured because he knows he may never see that job again? I'm just curious to see how they use him. I think the whole thing is a smokescreen, and we're not going to find out about him because they're trying to get Cleveland to waste time in their preparation.
That's a great question to revisit later, because what happens if Andy Dalton, tough guy, wants to try to tough this one out? What direction do the Bears lead him?
Would they let him?
I think he's got a consistent diet of Toradol going right now, Andy Dalton. Him and Toradol are friends this week. I agree. Listen, the more curious part is Andy Dalton and where it says on the injury report. Now, whether it's true or not, that's a whole nother thing. And you can't play around with that, because the NFL will sniff you out and they'll fine you. And I don't know that the Bears want to get fined for trying to be cute. I don't know that George McCaskey will be all gung-ho on writing a check to the NFL because Nagy's trying to be cute with the with that. Now, Eddie Goldman, does he want to play? Does he want to be here? Did he just show up so he could get this year's contract? I mean, he had the option, I believe, to opt out again. And basically, he's opting out again. I don't think he wants to do it. I don't think his heart is in it. And I got to be honest, if his heart's not in it, I'll go with that group that really won them the game last week. Now, I know this is a step up in class. The offensive line for Cleveland's better. The dedication to running the ball is better. They've got a great two-headed monster in their running game. And they're probably going to be forced to run because their leading receiver is out and you don't know where OBJ is. We talked about that yesterday. The quarterback likes to run around a little bit. Baker Mayfield. So
got a shoulder.
Right. Now, Eddie, if the 2019 Eddie Goldman is going to show up, then of course you want him to be there on Sunday. But what we've got a taste of so far, stay home. Stay on the sidelines in your Bears gear and collect your check.
I don't want to disagree with that, and I love the passion, but I am afraid, like, I don't know how unfair or how
unfair
it is to question Eddie Goldman's commitment to play.
It's very unfair.
I just don't feel comfortable doing that, because he has been hurt. And I know the opt-out, but and here's the one thing I will criticize him 7 days of Sunday. He skipped a mandatory mini camp, and he had something to prove, and his teammates were expecting him to be there and counting on him to to show
yep.
and to symbolize that he cared about football. When he didn't, he brought on all of these questions, right. I think, so maybe he does deserve that a little bit, but I do think it's a little bit unfair to question his commitment to how much he loves the game.
I'm not the only one out there.
No, I know, no.
I know,
we're not
I know,
blaming
Dustin.
You.
What it's worth.
I think, Dustin, I think you're speaking correctly from your point of view. I do think, though, that we don't know the severity of the injury.
No
and,
idea,
and,
right.
And it's very difficult to connect that to him opting out. You know what I mean? I'm not going to argue with you about it. Because I think you have a right, and I think fans have that in their head.
And I'm not pointing the finger at Dustin, as I am on Twitch right now, because this whole idea originated from a story that Brad Biggs wrote about Eddie Goldman considering retirement,
yes.
which was sourced, and it was legitimate. And
right.
I don't know, though, we've yet to hear from Eddie Goldman, so I guess that's the next step in this.
One other thing before we get off the subject. Don't you love the idea of the old Georgia guys – Nick Chubb and Roquan Smith colliding together somehow
cool.
in this game. That's
yeah.
really fun.
I'm struggling how to answer that one.
What the heck is wrong with the White Sox? Losing a series at Detroit, what's more disturbing, the repeated bullpen meltdowns or the wretched 2-for-10 performance with runners in scoring position? How do you strand 13 basemen?
I think that it's clever to use the word heck. Because there's another word that comes to mind when I think of what's wrong with the White Sox. And, Whiskey Tango Foxtrot, what is wrong with the White Sox? It is damnable. The bullpen meltdowns are the bigger problem. You know, the offense will get going. David is right. You will get a lineup out there that you've dreamed of. And you'll be able to score some runs, I believe, once you hit the playoffs. And there will be guys that will lift each other up, and you'll be okay with your offense. But the bullpen is a mess. I don't know who to trust or who not to trust. I don't know that they have a left-handed pitcher I want to see come out and face anyone as a reliever. I don't know that besides Liam Hendricks, I've got a lot of faith in anyone right now. And that's a mean thing to say, but it's. I'll tell you what, that's the bottom line. I just... You know, you give me a name and I will give you a reason that I'm not 100% sold. So I got some real issues and problems with this team. And I'm going to say that the bullpen meltdowns are really killing them right now.
Well, you can focus on the word heck. I'm focusing on the word wretched because I like it. It does describe the 2-for-10 performance. With runners in scoring position, you can't have that. But I think that I'm with you in terms of my biggest concern going into October would be the bullpen. That is where you win and lose games in October. And I know you need your offense, but I do have faith in the White Sox lineup top to bottom. If they're healthy, they're dangerous and they're deep. And I think that Tim Anderson will get on base, and I think that Aloy will maybe find a way to be hot again. You have Robert, who is hot. You got Abreu. You got a lot of options. Grandal with his eye. Did he walk 3 times yesterday? Goodness sakes. The bullpen, though, bummer. What's going on? Kimbrel, forget about it. You're right. Hendricks is really the only guy that you feel like there's a degree of confidence when he goes into the game. He's been very good, very consistent. But this bullpen was supposedly the best in baseball. They were going to protect 95 leads. Remember that one, Aaron Bummer?
Boy.
No. It doesn't look like that bullpen. They need to tighten things up there even more than their defense and some other things we'll talk about later. But, yeah, I think the bullpen is a bigger concern than hitting with runners in scoring position.
Well, I'm just going to continue to not be fair. They're just being dumb. It's just dumb baseball. And let's just start with yesterday as an example. You cannot, in a tight game, the team is playing tight right now, in my opinion. They can say they're not playing tight. In my opinion, they're playing tight. They're just trying to get through this hump and get the magic number down to 0, win the Central, and then move forward with the idea of focusing and getting ready for the postseason. But you cannot. When you see, I mean, this is Little League stuff, okay? It like the Bears touching a down player to down the player. That Little League, when you can see the ball in front of you, Moncada,
When you're running the bases and the ball is in front of you,
God.
You don't – Ozzie went out of his way. You don't make the first or last out at third base.
Oh,
and the problem is that today, as a manager, you are not allowed in, like, lots of places in the workplace and in the world, you are not allowed to tell somebody that they were being dumb or that they made a mistake because you might hurt their feelings and you might lose the clubhouse. And
I love when he goes,
nobody tells me what to do because I get paid more than you. So if you make more money than me, then you can't be told.
Dustin Yoda.
Stop it.
I love Baby Yoda.
I love Baby Dustin. Yeah.
Just stop
need to pat the guy on the bottom who makes almost $25 million a year and make him feel better about himself.
I'm ridiculous. To make that out, and then right after that, what happened? A base hit up the middle, the Sox would have been up. Right after that, another dumb thing. Even though Kimbrel should be able to get people out no matter when he is given the ball, he clearly cannot. So stop it.
Can I ask you a question?
So just stop it now.
Do you think that Moncada would react negatively to being called out by his manager?
Well, we don't know. Moncada might not, but maybe Tim Anderson would get ticked about it. Maybe Grandal would have it. That's the problem. We don't know. But we know today you cannot, as Dave Wannstedt, it was two Tuesdays ago, I believe, talked about knocking over some buffet tables and dumping Gatorade out, Butch Davis. You can't do that anymore because all of a sudden you lose the clubhouse, and then what?
The most asked question should be,
what did you make of Dallas Keuchel, who scattered 11 hits over five innings but allowed just two earned runs? Is he capable of helping in the playoffs, or maybe not? If you have to use him, is it because of disaster with Carlos Rodon?
Well, this is where we are. We're at the what to do in case of emergency. Break glass, there's Dallas Keuchel. That's where you are with the White Sox, because the Carlos Rodon situation, and we will talk about that moving forward, but it has put you in a situation where, or in a predicament of having to see the good in what Dallas Keuchel has to offer. Yeah, you know, he was all craft and guile, and he only gave up two runs, but 11 hits, and he had two plays at the plate. It could have been worse, but at the same time, well, it wasn't as bad as it could have been, maybe. So you're trying to look at the positives because you may be in a position where you have to trust him, because of the health of your pitching rotation, because of the limitations of your staff overall. So I don't know that Dallas Keuchel took a major step forward yesterday, but at least he didn't take two steps back. And I guess that counts as progress at this stage of the season, given where the White Sox are and given the way that he has pitched in the second half. So he wasn't great. He wasn't terrible. And I guess somewhere in between is what they're going to have to deal with moving into October, if they have to go to him in a pinch.
Lynn Giolito, Cease. That's it. That's your rotation. If you have to get a fourth game, you got an opener named Carlos Rodon, and then you got Ronaldo Lopez going as long as he can. That would be your fourth game. That's it. That's your pitching rotation. I wouldn't even have Keuchel on the playoff roster.
Can't have them there. You just can't. And they went out of their way again yesterday in that postgame show talking about how dominant in the past he has been against lefties. And that's just not...
It's not the case this year.
It's not the case this year. Now, again, the other night when I had made the point, like, have him in, maybe that one stud left-handed hitter. You know, he did a good job against Ohtani a week ago at 35th and Shields. But you can't risk it. Not right now.
It's a high-wire act with this guy. You're watching someone on the edge in every inning. It's not like there's a clean inning involved in anything.
Never.
And you get into the playoffs, and those are the innings that will blow up on you.
Not arguing with that.
There were more stranded runners by Cleveland.
Detroit.
Detroit.
Yep.
I'm stuck on the Browns. With Detroit yesterday than the White Sox.
Okay, but don't you think that Tony La Russa and the White Sox organization, given number one, and you've said it before, what he means in terms of this movement, and also you want to err on the side of having a veteran on your roster.
Thank you for calling me on that, because I am telling you he will be on their playoff roster.
Right.
I'm telling you he wouldn't be on mine.
Okay.
And I should have made that clarification. But I agree, because of the contract, because of the next year, because of who he is and the Cy Young and what he's done, he will be on their playoff roster. And in fact, they may try to link him, Rodon and him. But I'm telling you, if I'm the guy calling the shots, I'm going Lynn, Giolito, Cease, and if I have to, I got an opener.
Okay.
And I got Ronaldo. They probably would say take Ronaldo out and put
Keuchel
there. But that's a train wreck to me. Waiting to happen.
Let me ask you a question.
Can you believe the White Sox are prepping and hoping to start Carlos Rodon next Wednesday against the Reds? Anyway, that happens. Why would you do such a thing if he had a sore shoulder yesterday morning?
Desperation is the word. They need Carlos Rodon to be healthy. They need Carlos Rodon to be the entity that he was earlier in the season. And he doesn't seem to be able to be that. It'll be interesting. I guess you wait. You give him a week and you see if he can pitch, and then you know whether or not he's going to be a part of your playoff rotation. It's not a bad idea to give. I mean, what? We got 11 games left. And so you get him one more start, and then you hope that he can go as the third guy when you finally hit the playoffs. I think it's possible that could work. Possible that could work. What scares me about it is I think he is at this point an opener, because what we saw from him earlier in the year was a guy that came out and he was dominant. You know, he pitched the no-hitter, and the way that he did it was he kind of – He became his own closer. He started amping up as the game went on. By the third time round, he was just a fireballer. He was pitching differently than he had earlier in the game. I don't think he can go to that. I don't think he's going to have the velocity ticking up as the game goes on. My fear for him with the sore shoulder, dead arm, whatever the hell you want to call it, is that he is not going to be able to ratchet it up as the game goes on. And that means he's an opener and he can get you through three innings and hopefully not get destroyed. But I think they're doing this to see if a week off makes him usable come playoff time.
They've got to do this. They've got to wait and see. But let's remember, the last time we saw Carlos Rodon, he was looking to the dugout and hitting 89 on the radar gun. This is not the guy that we saw dominate for the first half and at times in the second half. This is, you know, the White Sox hoping and praying, if you will, that he's going to somehow use the benefit of time to get better and to look like the pitcher they need him to be. I don't think that it's realistic to expect him to be that guy. I think that, you know, you want to call him an opener. He can still be a starter. He may be your game three or four guy. He gives you four strong and gets you to the bullpen and maybe even five. Beyond that would be folly to expect. I would love to know, you talk about being a fly on the wall or having access to conversations. I would love to know the tenor of these discussions and who it involves. You know, what to do next. Carlos Rodon wants to pitch, wants to maybe forget that this is happening. Tony La Russa probably sees reason for concern and caution. I don't know where Ethan Katz fits into all this. I want to know
what
Scott Boras has to say, because you have to think
that
as your agent, you're going to have some sort of input here. So these are really delicate conversations. I think they're trying to act out of it. You use the word desperation, and you're not wrong.
I would like them to give Rodon the chance to get himself built back up for the postseason, but on the side. I don't think you need to put him out there against the Reds. And what I really don't like is this idea. We're talking about openers. Like, we're talking about two guys that potentially you're going to walk into the postseason with two guys in the form, and this is why, the guy Keuchel and Rodon as openers. If you're going to give me an opener, if you're going to do an opener, if that's where you're at, Michael Kopech should be the opener. Like, let's see Michael Kopech do
three
innings.
He has not been very dominant, Dustin, if you've watched.
But where has he been? Like, he doesn't seem to get a ton of work, though. Like, I'm just saying, at this point, Cease is third. Okay, there's no more question about who goes. Lynn goes first. Giolito goes second. And Cease goes third as of today. And if you need an opener, if I need an opener, I'm going Michael Kopech,
yeah.
And then I'll bring in Ronaldo Lopez if I have to, God forbid. I'm going Michael Kopech before I go Rodon right now. I'll take my chances.
But pitchers are creatures of habit, and I think if you're asking guys to start games.
He's done it this year.
Yeah, but not as often as he's come out of the bullpen.
Yeah. And not I think, of late.
Okay. I don't know that you want to use October as an experimental phase of anything.
Well, I don't like the idea of open. I mean, I just don't like this idea. If you're forced to do it, I guess. But let's run out. If you're the White Sox, let's just run out those three guys in that order that I just said, and let's see what happens, and then worry about game four.
Give it to me again. Give it to me again. I'm sorry.
It's Lance Lynn.
Yeah.
It's Giolito, and it's Cease.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
period.
It.
Yeah, right that's now.
That's it.
I mean, you clinch. Hopefully today, maybe tomorrow, and then that line them up.
Yep.
And then, but this, you can't. Let's put it this way: there's no way the third game can be an opener with Cease sitting around behind them.
You couldn't go.
But can I just point out
opener?
The White Sox had four All-Stars this year, right?
Right.
They had Abreu. They had
Tim
Anderson. Yep. They had
and the two pitchers.
Lynn, they had Carlos Rodon, like, you know, and they got another guy in Kimbrel, I suppose. They have five All-Stars. And what do they really have in terms of their All-Stars? Lynn's still there. Is Rodon the player he was?
No.
Is Kimbrel the player he was?
No.
It's hard to look at it. I think when
Tim Anderson plays every day in the postseason, you'll see a difference, I believe.
Well, see, okay, that's quite a statement, though. So if you see quite a difference in the Sox lineup because Tim Anderson is there, you're going to see a difference in their entire offense, right?
Right.
I've definitely been saying that. Yes, absolutely.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.